I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
The sky's so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey,
hey.
It's just a sunny
hey,
day.
Hey, hey, it's a sunny
it's
day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. We will be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Starting off the 9 o'clock hour, talking about pruning roses. And Ton, the first thing we need are some good gloves.
You do need some good gloves. The roses have thorns. So a good pair of leather gloves, or the equivalent if you don't choose to use animal products. There's still other gloves out there that will work fine. Mid-March in northern Utah along the Wasatch Front is when we prune these roses. And I want to differentiate here because there are old roses, Maria, that only bloom once a year.
Hmm.
And if you prune them now, you'll lose most of your flowers. And so if you know that you have an old-fashioned bush rose or an old-fashioned rose that just blooms once in mid to late spring, then you do not want to be pruning now because you lose the flowers.
Right.
But for repeat bloomers, whether they're shrubs or whether they are the hybrid tea roses or similar, you know, there's the floribundas and grandifloras. But what you would do is prune them within the next week or so, because it's warm enough that the chance of them getting damaged from really hard cold is gone, but they're still dormant, so you're not going to do a whole lot of damage to them while they're actively growing.
Right. I've heard so many things about pruning roses. I had heard at one point in time you should make the rose look like a fan, or you should prune it in that way. So what exactly are we trying to accomplish when we start pruning a rose bush?
For pruning styles, and this might apply a little more to fruit trees, there are correct ways to do it, and then there's ways that people do it. And it's not that you're causing a huge amount of damage,
right?
Usually.
It's a little bit different than a tree.
An example would be open center pruning. It seems to be the Utah favorite for every fruit tree. And I see apples all the time on open center pruning, and they're not supposed to be, but they still produce fruit. And so if something isn't being pruned perfectly, as long as we're not absolutely butchering it, oftentimes the plants can be a little bit forgiving. But as far as the hybrid tea rose, and so these are the roses that you get in bouquets that you bring into your house that are very common here. And then for grandiflora and floribunda, which are all, those are the three main types that we grow, that we prune pretty hard in the spring. So what you'll have is a bush oftentimes will get anywhere from 4 to 6 feet tall. and you cut it down usually anywhere from knee height, if it was shorter, to maybe waist height if it was a little taller. Mm-hmm. And you're going to take it back to 5 or 6 main canes and then cut everything else out. And what you're looking for are strong canes spaced out so that you have kind of a vase shape, just because they do grow up from a central stem. And so you'll have 5 or 6 main canes cut anywhere from knee to waist height.
So that's kind of where that fan thing came about.
It is, yes. Almost like a foldable paper fan shape.
Right.
Now, if you live in colder areas, like there's the Thanksgiving Point Rose Garden is in a fairly cold location. And they are almost as cold there as like something up in the Cache Valley. Hmm. And so what they have to do to overwinter their roses is pile bark mulch up around the bases of them about a foot high in a mound that protects the lower parts of the canes. And then in the spring, if we've had a hard winter, especially there because of the frosts and the cold temperatures they get, they oftentimes have to prune these roses just 18 inches off the ground because of all the dead wood in them. And then they'll use a leaf blower or small rakes or something to pull the bark back from the living tissue. And so if you're in colder areas, that's fine. But what will happen is that your roses usually by the end of the season will only reach about 2.5 to 3 feet tall. And so they'll be a little shorter. But if you live in colder areas, that is a technique that you can use to overwinter them.
Right. But the whole idea is to keep all the branches from crisscrossing.
It is, especially when they're younger. Or not younger, but especially in the spring. So as they grow, that will keep them thinned out a little bit. But the other thing that it does on these repeat blooming roses is that it causes a lot more flowers to form because the roses are blooming off of new growth. And so if you prune them like the recommendations are, then they get a lot more new growth and a lot more flowers. So it's, if you have roses that are not pruned, oftentimes you'll get a flush of flowers in the spring and then sporadically through the summer. But if you do your pruning and then cut the spent flowers off in the summer, they produce many more blossoms than they normally would.
What is the typical life of a rose bush? I mean, I have had some rose bushes in my yard since we built the home 30 years ago.
Yes, and some of them can be quite disease resistant and will last that long. And there's others. And the reason I'm hedging here a little bit is, no pun intended, is that some of the roses are pretty and just wimpy, and they may last 5 to maybe 10 years at the most, and others will last up to 30. So, you know, for me, average usable life on a rose is usually around 10 to 15, but many times they go longer. My grandfather was a rosarian, and it was one of his hobbies, and he had 30 or 40 rose bushes around his home, and I know many of his got to be over 30 years old.
Yeah, the problem with that is then you get some of those really thick stumps that are difficult Yes. to prune. So when do you decide it's time for them to go?
When you're tired of it.
Okay.
So.
All right.
You know, my grandpa, actually, he would have roses and he would grow them for 5 or so years and be like, eh, you know, and just not be too emotionally attracted to it. And he would tear it out. He just, it just wasn't what I wanted. And he would get these books every year of all the new releases and look at the performance, and he tried to get a lot of what are called all-American selections so that you know that they're going to perform better than many other varieties. But he had several favorites. There was one that I haven't seen for a while called Desert Peace. I believe it was called Desert Peace. Mm-hmm. That looked like a peace rose, but it had slightly lighter flowers, and it just bloomed like mad. But it's just one of those things that eventually, you know, if you want to try something new, but if they have sentimental value or they came from grandma's yard, then, you know, if they get those big woody stumps, it might be that you get a Sawzall out and take those out and leave younger ones behind.
Right. And I have done that as well. Fair enough. All right. And you can find out much more about pruning roses. Caitlin has put up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page a nice worksheet for you there as well.
Now, I will caution people that this worksheet is from the University of Oregon. Their growing season is longer than ours, and they're recommending pruning from late February into early March. Here, our timing is usually around the 10th to the 20th of March. So we're behind there, but otherwise what they state in the fact sheet is doctrine as far as pruning roses.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with your calls. Belva, you're up next, then Gary, and we'll take our text questions as well. Stay with us. The number to call, 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning, taking your calls 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. We started the hour talking about pruning roses, and Ton, you wanted to add a bit about pruning repeat blooming bud roses.
Yes, on the shrub roses. I think my text, my autocorrect got me.
Fine, so, then it got me too.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So the repeat blooming shrub roses, so Knockout, Simplicity, there's several series out there, and these are not going to be pruned like the hybrid teas and the ones we talked about last break. Actually, what you're going to want to do with them is use a technique called renewal pruning, to where you take about 20 to 25% of the branches out from as close to the base you can get with some loppers or maybe a sawzall. And what you would do with that is just take those branches out, and then if they're still a little tall, give them a light haircut. And this way, you're doing the same thing, because the younger branches are going to bloom more. And because, especially in late spring, these are so gorgeous. They're just covered in roses. When those are depleted and kind of done, you can take your hedge trimmers out and just give those a super light haircut.
Mm-hmm.
So that you cut most of them off. And then 3 or 4 weeks later, they do the same thing again.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's how I would manage those shrub roses. Now, if you have old fashioned roses that only bloom once, what you will do is just let them go. And let them bloom, and then as soon as they are done, that is when you do your pruning, and you use that renewal pruning, to where you cut 20 to 25% of the branches out and then give them a light haircut, because those flower buds for next year will be formed within a few weeks of them being done blooming. And so as you drive around town, there's this classic combination of a Persian yellow rose along with Austrian copper, which is a red rose. And the Persian yellow and Austrian copper are the same species and will just kind of intertwine. And you see these massive rose bushes with just this yellow and red flowers everywhere. Those mm-hmm. are an example of a rose that only blooms once a year. And so you would use the renewal pruning technique as soon as they're done.
All right. I appreciate that description. Now I know exactly what you're talking about. Let's go to Belva on the phone lines. Good morning, Belva. How can we help you this morning?
Hi, we live in the eastern part of Provo, kind of up on the hill area, and I wondered if there's any type of berries, like blackberry, any type of berry that is deer resistant, or is it just going to be dessert for them?
They're usually going to be dessert anytime you have ripe fruit, especially. What I would recommend doing is just getting some temporary fencing, almost like you would see along sidewalks and construction areas. Or you can do something a little more permanent, but you can put in T-posts and then use hog panels or whatever. And this is the cheapest way I know to do it, but you're going to exclude the deer from your orchard, berry, and vegetable areas using fencing and just make a way that you can get in and out, unless you want to fence off your entire yard. Now, these fences need to be at least 6 feet tall, preferably 8 feet tall.
Okay. Now, thank you. And I don't know if you have time for another quick question. We have a beautiful, it's 50, 60 years old, big pine tree on the side of our house. And I've dug up, and then on the one side of that, there is a sidewalk. And then on the other side of the sidewalk is a little garden area about 3 feet wide. And the roots, kind of fingerlings of this pine tree, go under the sidewalk and into that little flower area, and I have tried putting roses in there because it gets full sun, but it each maybe twice a year, spring and fall, I have to spade around there. Otherwise, these little fingerling roots just choke out the roots, and my roses are not healthy. So I wondered if they don't like pine tree roots near them.
There's no inherent competition from pine tree roots to other plants. And I would suspect something else is going on as to why those roses aren't doing well, but what it might be is a little more difficult to say, especially if you're going in and keeping those pine roots cut out of that little area. Is the soil there any different for some reason than other areas of your yard?
I've noticed that sometimes it's a little bit blacker. Does that make sense? I didn't know. Maybe I'm not giving them the right type of fertilizer or something, but they just don't seem to like it
there. Well, the first thing I would do is just some soil testing and make sure that there's nothing wrong with the soil for some reason. Because if the pine roots are trying to climb through there, that kind of tells me that the soil itself is probably fine. Do you get a pile up of needles or anything in there that might be holding too much water in or keeping water out?
Not needles, but it drops a lot of pine cones, and there are, a few needles, but it's not one of the ones.
Those wouldn't be problematic. Start with a soil test. BYU can do it. Or okay. USU, and what you're going to want is just what they would call a standard, like, routine test. You need to maybe talk to the lab. In addition to that, just out of curiosity, I would do salinity. But if the roses aren't thriving and you can verify that the soil is relatively normal for Utah, then the next thing I would look at is irrigation, to where those roses are either too wet or too dry consistently.
Okay, I think I'll start with the sample testing then.
Okay.
So I appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for your call this morning. And the number for you to call if you have a question, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.